Hello and welcome to Enough Wicker, a podcast where we're goddesses who like to go bar hopping as we discuss the greatest television show of all time, The Golden Girls. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Sarah.
And today we're tackling the 170th episode in the series, The Commitments.
Woo. Where
Woo!
does this title come from?
Good question. I mean, there's that movie, The Commitments, that's like the I think it's about a band, which came out in 1991, and was based on a 1987 novel. So I
Okay.
was wondering if it was that, kind of, and then also like Blanche's commitment to
Yeah.
Jerry. I was thinking it was that. It feels a little atypical for them to do something that's so topical as the Commitments like movie, but
Well, they
also
did Hey,
does
Look Me
work.
Over. That
Right,
was
that's
like
true.
literally at that time, pretty much. Well, no, I guess this was later. It was a reference later. Never mind. You're right. It's like a 1991 movie. That's what you're saying. It's like
Yeah.
very, very recent. Yeah, it seems like a stretch.
Yeah,
If
it's yeah, I agree. I
versus
agree.
like On Golden Pond, which like made, On Golden
Yeah.
Girls, that
Yeah.
kind of thing. It's funny. I always wondered about that. I was like, I don't know. I've never seen that movie though, so that's probably
Yeah.
part of it.
But I think that it, I mean, like, I don't know. I couldn't find anything about that. But
Yeah.
that's just what I assume. And I think it does work in like a wordplay sort of way, I guess, too, with what Blanche has going on. So maybe they were,
Right.
yeah, they just went with it.
Sounds good. Love it. So, what do you think of the episode?
I like it. I feel like it's kind of one that, it's not like, my top 10 or anything. And I not that I forget about it, because I do think the Beatlemania stuff is like really, really funny.
Yeah.
What's interesting is in the Colucci book, they talk about how this is like a real moment of growth for Blanche. And actually, this episode was originally supposed to air later in the like closer to the end,
Yeah.
to have this. I don't, and like Rue talks about the growth for Blanche. Honestly, it's not my favorite Blanche story. I feel like
Yeah.
it just doesn't hold up. I think like for the time and like to prove what they were trying to prove about like Blanche being like a complex character and like basically like not a slut, I think that they were doing something. But in 2024, it just doesn't. Or whatever, this time today, it's 2023 when we're recording this, but I'm trying to do the math. It might be 2024 by the time you're hearing it. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The growth piece of it doesn't super hit for me. I don't like it, actually.
Why can you like define, is it that you don't think it's good growth or that it's just weird or what is it about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of like I don't know, when she's like, I feel like a lady, like I just like I think that that sort of implies that there's only, I mean, this is maybe a stretch, but like there's only really one way to be, to play the quote unquote feminine role in a relationship, and it's not to be the aggressor. Because it's not like I don't know. I feel like Jerry isn't, it's not Jerry's fault either. But
Yeah.
without even saying it exactly, it's like very clear that it's a gender role thing. And like it's presented as like Jerry being like, well, like I just like haven't been dating for a while. Like I don't know how this works, whatever.
Right.
But the fact that she goes back to being like, I feel like a lady, to me is like, I feel like I am back to the part I'm supposed to play. And like that is presented as growth. And I
Yeah.
don't, yeah, like I just don't, it doesn't sit well with me.
You're right. I mean, that's a great way to define it because I also like, this episode is fine. I think the I feel like a lady is a little cheesy at the end. It gets like really intense and you're like, okay,
Yeah.
who's out there tingling in their seats? Jesus Christ. This is it's pretty wild. But I think to your point of like, okay, that's presented as growth of like this role that I'm supposed to play. It feels like a regression to me based
Yeah.
on like what who Blanche is, right? And it's like it doesn't mean that she needs to, I think what's also going on here, which also adds a bit of complexity, is like her assumption that every man is going to want to go straight to sex, trapezes, vibrating beds, you know, whatever it is, right?
The hell is that hotel?
yeah, it better be at these prices. You know, and again, like, and showing the flip of the gender role where he actually wants to take things slow and he actually wants to just like do like sort of chivalry, I guess, you know. He does have that weird line where he's like, you know, when I used to date, it was like the man that made all the moves kind of
right.
thing, you know, and you're just like, that seems to be the thesis of, like, to your point about Blanche's growth, and you're like, okay, like, I think there's a message here about not making assumptions about anybody in terms of how they want to pursue a relationship, especially based on gender, because it won't always be stereotypical in the case of Jerry and Blanche. But the conclusion of it makes it sound like, oh, now they're back where they're supposed to be, I guess.
Yeah,
That's
and
weird.
Like, also, like, the way that her confidence is kind of shaken by the fact that she can't get him into bed is, like, with Ham Lushbow, it's like, that's like funny, you know, it's like a conquest, which it, you know, like, there's critiques of that too, but I think in the context of the episode, like, it's a conquest, like, she is just like really trying to because she wants to, because she couldn't. It's not so tied to her self-confidence and her self-worth. And here I think it's like, honestly, the fact that she thinks because she can't get him into bed means she's like lost herself is, as you said, I think another sign of regression. So I don't feel like it's very often that I read like about the actresses and like their takes on the episode or their takes on the character and disagree, but I just think, like, I mean, it's a lovely, like, I think obviously Rue does a really good job, and it's like, it's probably really nice for her to play these complex emotions, which it doesn't happen never, but it's not, you know, all the time in a sitcom. But it's, yeah, I, there's just, it doesn't, I think it just doesn't hold up is like the sort of summary.
I think, so two things based on the Ham thing you said, I do think the difference there is, like, you know, that meme about like a handsome man. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but it's like a cartoon in The Office where like a handsome man comes over and is like, hey, Barbara, you looking good today. And she's like, oh, thank you. And then like an ugly man comes over and says, hey, Barbara, you looking good today. And she goes, hello, HR. Like, it's like a, right? Like that. So like that, I think, is the storyline there is like Blanche is losing her freaking mind because Ham is not traditionally attractive and she should be able to bed him. Right. And in this case, you know, Jerry is traditionally attractive and she has feelings for him. So therefore, she should be able to bed him because any guy worth his salt, whether they have feelings for Blanche or not, wants to sleep with Blanche. So, like, I get that. I get that that is, like, the story, which we've seen many times before, right, with Blanche, including with Ham and other storylines. But going back to the, like, the second point being that in that, like, oh, I feel like a lady and, you know, like, where he's, like, the first kiss is the sexiest thing in the world and it's sort of, like, grounds her, it's almost like that return to virginity story, but we've seen it done so much better with Rose in the third episode, you know. I think, like, it's that same idea of even at this age you can still feel butterflies, even at this age you can still be made to feel like you've never experienced like love or lust or sex or something, right? I think that's what they're trying to go for. But yeah, it has this like layer of ick over it about being like, but also don't judge Blanche. She can do whatever the fuck she wants and pursue guys the way she wants, right? Whether that's sleeping with them on this first date or trapezing or whatever.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, you're totally right. And I think like that's why, you know, like I don't hate it, but I think that, yeah, because like there is some like, there's real chemistry between them. And I think like, yeah, it was just about Blanche, like having feelings for him and it not moving the way she wanted it. I think that that would be different than like the effect that's having on her sense of self. And also that like, apparently she's been searching for the, like, you know, it's just like, it seems like she's been chasing this feeling of like being a lady, whatever. And like, you know, I would put this back on like the concept of being a lady, I will say, like, it's not coercive exactly, but like the hotel thing is like a little, I just think it's like another example of like if it were a man bringing a woman to this like sex den hotel without her knowledge of that's where she was
Oh,
going,
yeah.
it would
Oh,
be a
yeah.
real problem. And I don't think it's good here either. I also want to say like one thing that I think has held up is this trope that women love tall guys, because Jerry's so tall. I looked him up.
Oh my God, yeah.
He's played by Ken Howard, and he was the former SAG president, which is, you know, so cool. And he was
Is he like
six,
Ron
six.
Howard's brother or something?
He's Ron Howard's brother or cousin or uncle. He's related to him somehow.
Oh, okay, cool.
But so for context, he's 6'6¾, and Rue McClanahan is 5'3". So like
God
that
damn.
is quite a height disparity. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, the whole like actually it's funny because like yeah, the hotel thing is gross. It really wouldn't work flipped. But I do like the conversation where Blanche like where she I guess where she has the power, like where she's like just explaining to him, you know, he comes back and she's just like, oh, what do I owe you, gas money? I'll get my purse, you know, like it's that kind of funny. Like she assumes that dates go a certain way, which of course I also disagree with, but whatever. And she goes through the whole, I want to be treated a lot better than you. And I like when she's like, I do hate breaking in widowers.
Yeah.
Like, hey, actually, I feel like I'm more like a schoolboy. Like it's a funny, you know, exchange. So anyway, it's like this whole storyline, which has this like element of Puritanism in it, also is interesting when you look at the other storyline, of which like Sophia's upset because she's acting like Dorothy should be more Puritan, I guess, or discerning in her tastes in men. So
Yoko's
anyway,
Island,
I'd love
yeah.
to. I know. Oh my God. It's like such a joke at Yoko's expense, but it actually was a pretty funny joke.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I unfortunately do love the Yoko's Bornak joke. I think it's like this storyline, the Beatles thing is just, or Beatlemania, I guess I should say. It's just so ridiculous. And in actually in the Colucci book, Bea Arthur talks about how much fun this episode was for her.
Yeah.
And like you can kind of see that. She just like gets to act so like a teenager. Like her obsession is like, you know, so clear. And I think it's just like it's really fun. It's really kind of just like ridiculous. I love when the Beatle shows up in their house the next day. It's like, you know, like it's kind of fun because like Dorothy gets to basically live out the fantasy as close as possible, which is like sleeping with one of
Right.
the Beatles, in this case,
Totally.
the Beatlemanias. But I will say, like, I think there are a lot of, I think there's jokes about Dorothy that fall into two buckets. And one is like the funny one. I think it's funny when they're kind of like making fun of like dot dot, what a girl I got. Like, you
Yeah.
know that? Like it's funny when they're kind of making fun of him or like you know, like the concept that she's like, it's a little ridiculous to be a 60-year-old woman going to Beatlemania and like throwing her underwear. Like, you know, that is, I allow
Totally.
that, but there are a lot. I think there's also like this bucket of jokes, which like you've referenced a number of times of like just like meant to be like super cutting, and
Yeah.
are, you know, especially when you kind of like understand the, or like you're aware of the backstory of Bea Arthur like leaving because in part because of those jokes. It's like, yeah, like that's a little, they stick out, I think, when you're watching this episode.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I knew that this was going to be a theme for season 7, but my God, it's like every episode I find a new thing, you know, I unearth something new. You know, the beginning, first of all, I also absolutely love Dorothy's outfit in the beginning scene. I think it's stellar. But then, you know, they're immediately sort of laughing at her, and again, it's in the category of at her expense. When we don't actually see her so passionate about certain things as much, right? So it's actually
Yeah.
kind of a great cause to celebrate. But it reminded me, so the laughter in the beginning reminded me of this article from the New York Times that I unearthed a long time ago. And it basically is talking about how Bea Arthur is sensitive. And I'll just read an excerpt here. It's like, to her credit, Arthur seemed well aware of this aspect of her personality. As she said in one interview, she felt like one giant exposed nerve. She felt everything. This was indispensable for an actress of her caliber, but it could make personal relationships difficult. Rue McClanahan tells of once when someone on set made an offhand remark that Arthur took very personally and burst into tears. McClanahan said that was not seen very often, but those emotions were often right under the surface. So I think, you know, that there is this sensitivity here, and I can't help but, you know, not separate Bea Arthur from Dorothy Zbornak in these roles and you know, in these moments. And it's just they're not as funny to me. They're really not, you know, like it's getting a little too mean at times. I do like the moments where, you know, like when she dances through and they're like just being so wackadoo, and then, you know, Blanche is like, "That's Dorothy. You really dodged a bullet, didn't you?"
Yeah, that's funny.
I like that one because like it's just absurd and they're leaning on her. She could be anybody, you know, being obsessed with Beatlemania. She could be Rose and you know, Blanche being obsessed with the Elvis, right? But
Yeah.
yeah, but then there's other times where it's just like, ugh, it's not as fun.
Yeah. Actually, my first note for this is that Dorothy's outfit is giving glamorous Esmeralda, so I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh my God, love it.
Yeah, I think it also like that Bea Arthur, you know, that tidbit about Bea Arthur is really interesting. And also, like, I don't know if it's because of like having, you know, like having a parasocial relationship with Dorothy or whatever it is. But yeah, it feels like that's something that I knew about her. And I imagine that's true for like a lot of like our listeners and people who love the show is like you kind of can see it. And yeah, and I'm sure it really does is an asset in acting. But also like, yeah, that's a really, really tough way to be when you're like built like her and you're playing the characters like her, because in addition
Yeah.
to I think just presenting the way that she does, it's like playing a character like Maude or like Dorothy, like that kind of like invites you know, like it invites certain jokes and criticisms, and I imagine that would be really, really hard for someone like that. Particularly when, and I think like that's also kind of at the root of all the like B didn't like Betty, blah, 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 whatever. And like I
Yeah.
think Betty and Rue are actually pretty similar personality wise. And B. Arthur just like isn't exactly like them. And so I think that that also probably like, you know, with time, like kind of got misinterpreted and twisted around to like B. Arthur didn't like Betty White because she was like smiling all the time or whatever it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, yeah. And it's yeah, so it's just ever present. It's just interesting that it's, you know, throughout this. I do think that when like she gets to have a really interesting conclusion at the end of the story, right? Where she's like fallen in love with a persona and not the person.
Yeah.
And it is kind of funny because it's also like, I don't know. It's also kind of rude, because like he's going out on his own. You should actually support him. Like he seems like he actually really likes Dorothy as a relationship, and it's not her parasocial relationship with the Beatles or, you know, with George. So I actually feel bad, even if his music is bad, that she doesn't stand by him, that she runs out. When we shower together, we don't have to turn on hot.
I would run
Sounds like they have
too.
good sex, right? Well, yeah. But
Yeah.
anyway, the persona, not the person, is actually very similar to the Max and Sophia story. It kind of
Yeah.
struck me for the first time, you know,
True.
of like where there's just like this, it's not like there's something here, but it's not actual love. You know what I mean? Like there's some
Yeah.
other imprinting going on, which is
Yeah.
interesting.
And I think like that's why it's kind of nice that she and does end up like getting to sleep with him. It's like as close as you can to living the true dream of like obsessive fans. That's as you know, I think she got as close as possible.
Yeah, an incredible simulation.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you specifically about when she's talking about how she could have gone to Shea Stadium, and she's like, it's one of those things, one of those times where you have to pretend that you love your kids more than something you really want to do.
Oh my
I
God,
think
they
that
all
that's like,
nod.
yeah, I think it's like so funny. And like, I think even from the audience reaction, like, Yeah, that feels so like, obviously I'm not a parent, but that feels very relatable. And like, obviously it's an
Yes.
exaggeration. Like, no one believes that you
Yes.
love Beatles more than your kids, but like, yeah, like that sucks.
Totally, totally. I mean, oh my God, coming up on it, like it was just, yeah, there's a lot, you know? It's a, like parenting takes so much out of you, and even just, yeah, like physically being present at a place when you have to fucking watch your kids, you're like, you can only imagine. This is like a scar on Dorothy's life.
Yeah,
So
like,
it's,
and
yeah, it's such a great scene. It's such a good, like, relatable scene when they all just like kind of chime in. Oh my God, it's
yeah,
so funny. What
it's
do you think?
cute.
So speaking of the kids, right? Like, we all know Dorothy got knocked up early, but I feel like the timeline for me is off from being so obsessed with the Beatles. Like, I feel like she'd have to be in her 20s. When did
Well,
they touch down in the United States?
I think they kind of like burst onto the scene. I think in England they were in the sixth, like 1960 was their big time, but they were soon after here. So I think like if she wasn't Miss Prom 1946,
Yeah.
I think the thing is like she actually could have been on the older side. Like she wasn't like a teenager, but she could have been like like upset, like in the age group, I guess, that was really obsessed with the Beatles, but she would have a kid, I think is kind of the difference. Because so if she was right, I'm trying to do that math, like if she got
Well, it
knocked
was
up when she,
1964. So if we're like, you know, 1964 from like 1992-ish is a full 28 years. So she's like in her 30s or 40s. That's what's weird to me, right? If you actually do the math. Because I
that's
remember
true.
when she was talking about the, you know, when she was talking about Kate marrying Dennis in the first season, like she's like, the only man Kate's really been serious about was Paul McCartney. And that checks out to me, right?
Yeah.
Like that makes sense of
But I
like,
think
okay.
everyone, but I think the Beatles were a sensation. And like, I think the pictures are like of the teen girls like screaming, but I think they were like pretty universal. So I think it also could be the kind of thing that like they both really liked.
For sure, but I think like the horn dog nature of it is what
Right.
changes it for me.
Yeah.
But I
That's,
guess she was incredibly unsatisfied in her marriage, so I
yeah.
mean, makes
I think
sense.
it checks out. I feel like women, like anyone can be, you know, a super fan and like maybe like have these like secret fantasies about you know, whatever. Like I think it works, even though that Kate was also like presented as like being obsessive. But yeah, the question, like, why didn't you just bring Kate? I guess Kate was sick, right? Or someone was sick. That's why she couldn't go to Shea Stadium.
Yeah, such a bummer.
Yeah.
So great. So great. So can we talk about you know, Sophia being like, yeah, that's music. Which by the way, as a Beatles fan, when Dorothy and you know, Don are playing
He
you
loves
know,
you.
what you would call it, when yeah, when they're singing She Loves You, they actually miss a yeah, which it irritates me to no end. But before that, when Sophia's like, Heidi, Heidi, ho, now that's music. I actually looked that up. So the Heidi, Heidi, ho is, it's not the name of the song. That's obviously the refrain. That's the most famous part. It's a song called Minnie the Moocher. And it's jazz scat, of course, hence the Heidi, Heidi, ho part. And it was
Right.
first recorded in 1931 by Cab Calloway and his orchestra, and it sold over 1 million copies. So yeah,
Wow.
it was literally Beatlemania of like Sophia's day, which is kind of crazy. But it's great. I love that reference is there, and it's such a perfect like skewering of generations. Every, you know, every generation thinks that they invented, you know, sex and rock and roll. So it's perfect.
Yeah, I know. I think it's really funny. All of like Sophia's critiques and like Sophia not getting the Beatles, I think, is really like works it when she's like,
Yeah.
make men leave their wives and palaces and dance the bossa nova. Like, she's got a lot of like really
Totally.
great lines that are like at Dorothy's expense, but also like at the expense of like the Beatles and like this like concept of Beatlemania.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I had the Heidi Heidi Ho line makes me laugh like every time. I think I love it.
Totally. It's really funny. But I think, yeah, it's, you know, the fact that I just love this, that storyline so much better. Like, I mean, I love it for many reasons, but my favorite part is that Dorothy gets so much sex. Like, it's really great. Like, the whole, like, Sophia reacting in a weird Puritan way, like you had sex with a complete stranger, you know, like it's just like, I don't know if she's like embarrassed that he is pretending to be somebody else as his job. Like, it's almost like a substitute teacher type of situation where, like, Sophia's being critical. But anyway, I mean, it's just great. Like, where she's just like, you know, I'm having a sex drought and you're having a bumper crop. And Dorothy's like, I'm expecting more rain. It's like, it's so great, right? Like, it's really fun to have that interplay. And I really love the fact that Dorothy gets so much sex in this episode and that she holds it over Blanche, because that's always a fun interaction.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, like, I don't know. I do think, like, there's something to kind of, like, laughing at someone who's sleeping with a Beatlemania guy. Like, I think it's, like, I don't know, it's, like, a little corny as a concept, like, Beatlemania, and I think that, like, it's, you can see how it would be ripe for jokes from others, but yeah, to your point, like, Dorothy's, like, living it, so, like, she's not super bothered by it, and I think, like, but I think, yeah, and even when Dorothy kind of turns and, like, has the ick on him because he's, like, not a good performer, I don't think it's necessarily, like, oh, I really like this guy, and then I saw this and I was, like, you know, like, I'm not, whatever. I think it was, like, a pretty, like, sexually driven, lustful relationship.
Yeah.
And I think once you, like, see something that's, like, ugh, like, cringy, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to, like, get back to, like,
that's fair.
The level of attraction. So I don't even blame Dorothy when she's like, I can't do that. Like, it just, like,
I'm out.
Steve me out. Yeah, I think that that's actually pretty relatable too.
I think that makes total sense. Yeah, it's especially because it's, like, wholly physical for her.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, it's just nice to see that. And yeah, there is some dorkiness about it. But to me, it's like, I never thought that Dorothy was not falling in love with the persona. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think that to me is, like, the whole joke the whole time. So I guess it strikes me as odd when everyone's giving her such a hard time and she's just like, I'm just fucking this guy. Come on.
Yeah.
You know?
I really love the running theme too, of Dorothy, like, liking music. I think, like, yeah, between this and the Frank Sinatra thing, it's like, and, like, obviously they're not going to do a whole episode. Like, we're not going to get more into it than we do from a show writer standpoint, but
yeah,
I always love when things like that come up, because it just, like, I think it indicates how layered the characters are and, like, how much thought has been put into this. And, like, anytime it's something music related of that time, it's Dorothy sort of, like, driving it and, like, being a fan and all that. And I think that that's really cool. It's just, like, it makes the character feel more like a real person.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's perfect. And it makes sense too that, like, I don't know, that Dorothy, especially given the position that she's in life, would kind of lean on music in a lot of ways as sort of like an escape, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, like, not to be snobby, but she's from Brooklyn. So I feel like she was, like, you know, looking for the best in media.
There you go.
As we do. So, yeah, I really like that part about her. And it's also fun to see Sophia kind of, like, having, you know, been a witness to both of these sort of fandoms of Dorothy's, like, from a mother's standpoint, because it's like, yeah, like, she doesn't super get it. She kind of understands Frank Sinatra. I think, like, Italian women are, like, born to understand him.
Yeah.
But she just, like, I don't know, it's kind of fun. It's like, it in a way, like, Dorothy falls back into, like, being a teen, and Sophia gets to, like, be the mother of a teen, kind of, like, you know, like, sort of, like, lovingly rolling her eyes at, like, Dorothy's obsession with these things.
Yeah, exactly. No, they do that. They do a good job with, like, the playing, you know, playing off of the generations in this one, for sure.
Yeah.
Do you, I have to call out too that Dawn is Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's, because I loved, you know, I obviously watched this episode when I was young and also loved that movie when I was young. And now, you know, like, it took me until probably high school to put it together. It was pretty great.
Yeah. What a
man of many talents, you know,
yeah.
Bernie and George and Beatlemania, Paul when Ernie's sick.
Yeah.
So great. Can we also talk about Blanche having her low self-esteem moment?
Yeah, that dopey it's okay to be me sweatshirt.
Oh my god, it's like that, like, again, this is a line that's so rude and it's so against Rose, but, like, it doesn't We don't get to have like Rose's little pursed up, you know, lip in this one. She just has that great line where she's like, guess I'll be back there in there again tonight. You know, it's kiss yourself silly in the mirror. It's so great. And then also, like, again, you know, Rose being more of a supporting character here, she does a great job. Like, she has, you know, where they're like, when was it a man refused to sleep with you? And then, you know, Rose is like, the time I was radioactive. And then they just leave it at that. It's the best. It's so great. Because, like, who could resist, like, hearing more? But it's Rose, so they can.
Yeah.
It's so great.
Yeah. No, it's, I think, like, but yeah, but anyway, is like, kind of, you know, not in this episode a lot, but every single thing she says is funny in this conversation in particular.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, this conversation is interesting because, like, Dorothy is really, like, head in the clouds, like, super, like, happy and, you know, like giddy and whatever about what she's got going on. And then Blanche has that line where she's like, I already have friends, I don't have sex with you guys. And, like, that, I think,
totally.
Is, I think that that's just, like, a funny but, like, also kind of a revealing line. And also, like, to be clear, like, she doesn't want to be friends with Cherry. I don't think that that's, like, weird or, you know, anything. Like, they were never met. They
totally.
Were never, like, on the friend track, I guess. Yeah, I think it's interesting. I guess, like, I think that, again, like, not to poke holes in this, but I think that the Blanche feeling insecure in Journey to the Center of Attention is, like, way better and just, like, way more. I think there's, like, much more to say about that emotionally and, like, you know, like, character wise. And here it's just, like, again, like, it just goes back to her self-worth being so tied to a man, men wanting to sleep with her. And so much so that it's, like, affecting her, like, really affecting her self-confidence. Which
and the shaky way that Rue plays that is incredible.
Yeah.
Right?
Agree.
Like, you can feel how nervous she is, you know. Now cut it out, you old worm woman.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels real. It definitely does.
She does a great job, which, yeah, like you said, you can, like, when you were, like, talking about how she really enjoyed this episode, like, it's very clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think about, do you think it's just because, like, she can't seduce him, or, like, what do you think is really going on there?
I mean, she can't seduce him, which is the way she knows how to, like, I don't know, like, you know, if a man likes me, then clearly he wants to sleep with me because that's what men want. You know what I mean? I think it's interesting. And she completely, like, doesn't listen to him when he's explaining that he's, like, new to the dating scene and everything. And it's, like, a miscommunication there, but she just spirals, you know? I think it's, like, she just, you know, she says she's hopelessly in love with him. And I think it's, like, she really goes down this, like, I can't conquer the one man I want kind of spiral, which I get. You know, I mean, it's hard. It's really hard. I think she accelerates a little faster about being in love, but, you know, whatever. To each their own. But yeah, I think she just is having, I just really like how she plays that shaky moment. I like that a lot more than sort of the conclusion, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
But yeah, I also love, again, in the supporting Rose role, like, at the end when Blanche is explaining to Rose, you know, that he wants to take it slow, all this other stuff. And Rose goes, how does this all make you feel? Is such a therapy line. It's,
I
like,
know.
Really great. You know, I was like, but that's, like, really supportive and helpful. I like that a lot. I don't like how in the postscript we see Rose as, like, a cheater. Which is, like, you're like, we don't need this, guys. Come on. It's very strange, but, you know, season 7, what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, like, it's nice to have Blanche, or it's just nice, I guess, to have them, you know, kind of being there as a support for Blanche and, like, being able to, like, yeah, I think that Rose is actually really good in both of those two scenes. But I just, like, yeah, I don't know, the conclusion just, like, grosses me out. It's, like, I think, like, the way that she enters the room after the dot bit and she's like, I'm, you know, like, I'm nothing but a whatever, like, slut, and then Rose says that funny line where she's like, don't tell me, is it Blanche? I don't know, I just feel like While Rue is incredible in that, I think she's also like quite shaken and like quite like kind of like, you know, like starry-eyed in a way. I think that it just like it's backwards. It's like it's not evolution. I think it's regression, as we've been saying. Like you, it's not like, I guess like that's the thing, right? Is like it, she's not saying like, oh God, I can't get this guy. Like I really like him. He's not with me. She's saying like, I am this thing that's bad. And like I think that it's like, you know, it just like is a reflection of her, which I think is really unfair and like really gross. And I think just like not, I just, that part is what I don't like about it.
Yeah, but I also, now it's funny when you were talking, I can also see it as part of the Blanche persona, personality is that she does need approval from others, right? So I can see that about being like, I need to sort of fit into this shape because she wants something. Like in a balance where she doesn't even care, where she's like, you know, the shallow guys I go out with, like she, they're a dime a dozen, doesn't matter. She wants Jerry specifically. So she feels like she has to mold herself into something that he is accepting of, you know, which I feel like is real, even if it's gross.
Yeah.
So I think that does make sense for the character in a lot of ways. So it's complex. I mean, you know, the more that we talk about this episode, the more complex it actually is to me, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, just like frozen in courtship. Yeah, and then like the music at the very end when she's, you know, like it's just
Oh, I
so
know. It's too
cheesy.
much.
Yeah.
It's too cheesy and turned up to 11 in intensity, you know?
Yeah.
Too funny. The only other line I had that we didn't talk about was like, Sophia, do you know where any batteries are? Oh, you make me sick. Which is like another one of those, like it's funny, but you're just like, why is that so Puritan? Give me a break.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know, it's funny.
It's very funny. It's very funny. Did you have anything else?
No, I don't think so. I guess like the only other thing is like when I actually feel like Beatlemania would be really fun if you were into the Beatles. I think that that would be like a really fun thing to do. And actually, I was recently at Mohegan Sun, which is a casino in Connecticut, and
Love
they
it.
had a Beatlemania sort of thing. I think they take themselves a little bit more seriously. It's like a Beatles cover band, but it's basically Beatlemania. And a friend went and she said it was really good. And so I feel like, you know, it's kind of nice that that's still a thing.
I think cover bands are great. That's why I'm kind of like, I don't really get all the hate, you know, for poor Dawn, and like it's just really, really funny. You're just like, yeah, why not just pretend like you can't actually have the real thing? So let's just like live up, you know, your life. And if you happen to sleep with the guy playing Paul, then, or George, then go for it.
Yeah.
Love
Good
it.
message.
I love it. Well, thank you everybody for putting up with my lack of a voice. Join us next time when we discuss Hot Wax, Nudniks, and the anti-you-know-who. Take care, everybody.